Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Good evening, dear saints. Trusting you've had a lovely day. Trusting that your week has been good. With you being instructed in God's word. And hopefully that we've been able to minister God's word to you over the last few days. It's been a long week. And we're here again for the word. Trusting that you have been instructed. And you've been corrected, you've been able to act on God's word, right? Well, we'll just play the button again. Like I said, when we have a series like this, a meeting like this, it's a full long, week-long teaching. And what we do is we just pause our thoughts, pause the conversation, pause where we are. And pick it up again the next day. So we'll continue from where we stopped yesterday, and we will play it again today, then pause again, continue tomorrow, then we have a joint service with both churches on Sunday, as I would presume. So, well, ground rules, don't forget, be with your posture, with the posture to receive God's word. Let your heart have the posture to receive God's word, and not a time to lay on your bed, not a time to eat, not a time to prepare a dinner, not a time to do any other thing, but always ensure that when we come together like this, you have your writing materials, your Bible with you, and you look into the Bible whilst we're preaching, look into your writing materials, jot things down, right? Because, you know, there are many more people who their Christian faith and their spiritual development will be dependent on the notes you take today or the notes you don't take today. And their lives will be hinged on your disobedience or your obedience to being a disciple in the local church you find yourself. Let's go into the world as a green prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word restored accuracy. With clarity, with precision, there is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening, and we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Praise God forevermore. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. All right, Romans chapter 12, and go all the way to verse 17. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Okay, you know, I've been saying we're supposed to touch Romans chapter 13. So you know what? Let's start from Romans 13. So it's not be that I finish this series without going to Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 8. It says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." Look at that one more time. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Right? So, does the Bible teach us to owe? Yes. Are we together? What is Paul teaching us to owe? Love for another. Okay? So, is it good to owe as a believer? Yes, it is. Good. Is this good to owe? What kind of owing am I speaking about? I'm speaking about the owing that Paul spoke about, that is, owe another love. So what do I owe you? I owe you love. What do you owe me? You owe me love. Why do I owe you love? 1 John 3. Glory to God forevermore. 1 John 3, and go all the way to verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life. And we ought to lay down our lives, 1 John 3, we ought to lay, verse 16, down our lives for the brethren, because we owe them. Okay, look at it again. Hereby perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, because we owe them. Are we together? So what do you owe fellow brethren? You owe fellow brethren love. Okay, what do you owe fellow brethren? You owe fellow brethren love. Why do you owe fellow brethren love? Because as a child of God, you've received of God's love. It means you are indebted to another. So ideally, when Mr. A gives Mr. B money, Mr. B should have a sense of indebtedness to Mr. A. But you see what God is doing? Miss God The God A, for instance, Mr. A, giving Mr. B money, and he says your indebtedness should be to Mr. C. You get the point, right? So God A gives you B his love. You are to be indebted to God A, but in the real sense, we will see an expression of indebtedness to God A by seeing your level of expression to what? The brother C or Mr. C. You get the point, right? So he says, hereby pursue the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He says, but whosoever has this world's good and says his brother have need, and he shuts up his bowl of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So it means that it almost sounds very rhetorical. So to say, oh, that's what I was looking for just now, right? It's almost unbelieving to see a believer not expressing what he owes another. Romans 13 again. Go back to Romans 13 again. Romans 13. So I've read Romans 13. Happy days, right? So look at verse 8 again. It says, "Owe no man," Romans 13 verse 8, "owe no man but to love another," or to love one another. "For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Okay? So your owing and your loving, it means you fulfill. What's the law? Look at Matthew's Gospel 22, verse 36. Matthew's Gospel 22, verse 36. Matthew's Gospel 22, verse 36. Look at Matthew's Gospel 22, verse 36. Master, right? Master, look at it again, right? Master, look at it one more time. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Yeah. "Owe no man anything but to love one another. He who does this has fulfilled the law." Yeah, paraphrasing. Okay, now look at this question to Jesus. "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Look at what Jesus said in verse 37. Jesus in verse 37 says, "Thou shalt love." So it did not take Jesus time to answer that question. Are we together, right? The instant first, so we don't have record of Jesus parabolating before hitting the concept of love. No, he says, "The greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Okay? "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Hold on. So what's the question they ask Jesus? "Jesus, what is the great commandment?" He says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Now look at what Jesus says in verse 38. He says, "This is the first and the great commandment." Okay? He says, "This is the first and the great commandment." Look at that one more time. "What is the great commandment, dear Lord Jesus?" "Master, what is the great commandment?" Jesus says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul." He now says, "That is the first and great commandment." Look at what he says in verse 39. "And the second is like unto it." Altogether, the second is like unto it. So when they ask you, what is the great commandment? You see, think about it this way. They're asking Jesus, yeah, we've read the entire scriptures. We have seen different laws, commandments, and everything. Which of them is the greatest? Altogether, which of them is the great commandment? Altogether. So they're asking, okay. Lord, we agree that there are 613 laws. We agree that there are 10 laws. We agree there are 55 laws. We agree there are 777 laws. Which of them is the one that, dear Lord Jesus, that if we just do this one, you can overlook the other ones? Then Jesus says, "The greatest in the scriptures," or "the great in the scripture, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God." See, that's the first. Now, in Bible interpretation, when you look at that word first, don't think of it as number one, but think about it of that which leads. Are we together? Right? That which leads. Okay? So, where is Jesus teaching from? So listen to what I'm saying. Jesus is summarizing the law in a sentence. Paul says, when you love your brother, you fulfill the law. Jesus summarizes the law in a sentence, or you can say in a phrase. Are we together? Because ideally, when you read verse 37 to 39, it's actually one phrase. How do you know? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Don't go to Deuteronomy. Yeah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So you have the fifth book of the Bible. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Are you in chapter 6? And go all the way to verse 4. Now look at verse 6. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now, these are the commandments. Yeah, so this is a concept of commandments. Yeah, they were asking Jesus, what's the great commandment? We know the commandments, they are plenty. What's the great one? He says, now these are the commandments, Moses speaking, the statutes and the judgment which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. It says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of their life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Now look at verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you. And that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Look at verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord. Now look at verse 5. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He now says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. So what is that needs to be taught to thy children? It is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? With all thine heart, with all thy soul. Look at Leviticus chapter 19. So you flip back a little, Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, right? Leviticus chapter 19, and look at verse 18. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, right? Look at what it says in verse 18. It says, thou shalt not avenge. Okay. Go to verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. So who did John give as an example of hating thy brother? If you will follow, you know the answer to that question. Brother Cain. Okay, so it says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Altogether, right? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. The Bible is a solidly complete book. Okay, it says, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor, for I am the Lord. Altogether, thou shalt not defraud, verse 13, thy neighbor, neither rob him the wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Verse 12, and ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God, for I am the Lord thy God. Verse 11, thou shalt not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Verse 10, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and strangers, and the Lord your God. Verse 9, and when you reap the harvest of the land, right, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of the harvest. Therefore, verse 8, therefore everyone that eateth it shall bear its iniquity. Verse 7, and if it be eaten, what am I trying to show you, right? There's so many things that man should do. How does it conclude it in verse 18? It says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love. That means when love is the fulcrum for your action, love will let you know the commandments that you should keep and the things that you should not do. Right? You know, I always say it this way. Let love be the litmus test of your action. What will love do? You get the point. What will love do? Right? So you can keep reading and reading and reading and reading and reading, right? And you see so many things that the scripture is asking man to do. But it goes to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all that. So it means that Moses taught both of them. We saw thou shalt love thy neighbor from Leviticus 19. We saw thou shalt love the Lord thy God from Deuteronomy chapter 6. What did Jesus say? He makes it together. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. What does Jesus say in Matthew 22? Look at it again. He says, this is the first in verse 38. What is the first? Thou shalt love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. That is the first. Are we together? He says, that which leads. Are we together? Right? Now look at verse 39. He says, and the second is like unto it. That means the second is a follow after. Are we together? So the second sort of emanates or flows through and from the first. Are we together? Right? It says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Who is thy neighbor? Thy neighbor is any other human beside you. Your neighbor is not always the one that lives in flat 77 while you live in flat 76. No, your neighbor is any other human. So when the Bible says thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, what's the best way to read it, right? It is that because you are in love with God, we will see that expressed in your love for your neighbor. For scripture says, how can you love the one you have not seen, yet hate the one that you see? Okay? Right? So if you look at verse 40, it says, on these two commandments, look at it again, verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. So it means you don't need to cram and understand 627 laws or 613 laws or 577 laws, be it 10,000 laws. All you need really is actually to understand these two basic laws. The first and the second. All together. The first and the second. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Luke 10, 27. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So Luke 10, verse 27. Okay? Look at Luke 10, 27. Keep your hands in Matthew 22. Luke 10, 27. He said unto him, verse 26, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Right? Look at verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? He says, what is written and what did you read? Okay? Now, look at verse 27. And he answering says, the law says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Right? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. And thy neighbor as thyself. So Jesus combines, right, or rather, the lawyer is combining Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And altogether, look at verse 28. What does he say? He says, and he said unto them, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Altogether, this do, and thou shalt live. Right? It now goes on further to talk about the certain man who was stripped of his gift, who were the story of the good Samaritan. What was the story of the good Samaritan to illustrate? The keeping of the instruction or the commandment that says, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy might, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy heart. Look at John 13, 34. Look at John 13, 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. Go all the way to John 13, verse 34. Now look at what it says in verse 31. Look at verse 33. Let's just go to 33. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. Ye shall seek me. And I said unto the Jews, right? At the Jew, right? Whether I go, you cannot come. And now I say to you. Look at verse 34. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Listen to that again one more time. A new commandment. So when you talk about a new commandment, it means that Jesus is sort of summarizing and trying to put all the commandments into a phrase. What's the phrase? He says, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So what is Jesus teaching? Love one another as I have loved you. Okay? So Jesus says to you, he says, love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. All right. So go back to day one of this seminar. What were we teaching on day one or day two? We saw that Jesus sits at the head of the table, right? And he gives the cup to them and he says, drink of my blood. For you, when you drink of my blood, you receive my spirit. That means you have everlasting life. Yeah. So what is another way of saying that or expressing that activity? It is love one another as I have loved you. So which love do you look at to know the love you give? You look at the love of God to know the love to give. Which love do you look at to know the love to give? You look at the word of God to know the love to give. Whose love do you look at to know the love to give? You look at the love of God to know the love to give. Yeah, that's a song. Are we together? So we look at the love of God to know the love we give. I like that line. I like the song, right? Yeah, we can even create it as a rap. We'll live the love of God. We'll give the love of God to know the love of God. Anything that floats your boat, you child love. You get the point, right? So we will love another by looking at the love another has given us. So Jesus on the head of the table will give you a cup and he will say, drink it. Don't forget. Does God expect you, let me know if you've been following, does God expect you to bring a ram when you come to his dining table or his, supper table? Yes, God expects you to bring a ram. Why? Because God is the chief ram on the table. Hallelujah. So when you have your ram, what is your ram for? Who is your ram to? No, when you come to the table with Jesus, you don't kill your ram and put your ram in a cup and give Jesus. No, because we don't give Jesus our blood. We don't give Jesus our sacrifice. We give another our sacrifice. So don't forget, Jesus sits at the head of the table and there are two lanes. There are two parallel lanes where believers are to sit. Yeah, they've come to the table to drink or man sits. So what does God do? God, out of love, he puts his blood. So God, the Lamb of God, Jesus, the Lamb of God, will put his blood in a cup and he will say, drink. The one he says drink, you see, he will now say, the way I have given you my blood to drink, give your blood to another to drink. So what do you now do? You kill your ram. What do you now do? 1 John 3, he who has this world's deeds, the things of this world, right? And he sees another and he shuts his bowl of compassion. What is he doing? He's doing as not what he has seen, but what the world is teaching. So stinginess is an expression of one who is not paying attention to the love of God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Right? Yeah. So when we come to the table, what is God expecting? You see how he gave his life sacrificially, that you give. For God so loved the world that he gave. So he gave so that we give. So look at the new commandment again in John 13, verse 34. Don't forget the song. Yeah? So he says, a new commandment I give unto you. What's the commandment? It says that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So it is you love another as I have loved you. So it really means when the Bible says love thy neighbor as thyself, it does not mean love your neighbor the way you want your neighbor to love you back. No, it does not mean love your neighbor. Look at it. If you love your neighbor the way you want somebody to love you, what is leading you in your love walk? It is an imagination, expression, interpretation, expectation of how you want others to love you that would dictate how you love another. You see the problem with that? A lot of us have grown up in very, very interesting backgrounds and different kinds and types and shadows of homes. Why I said that is simple. It means that love as a concept is seen in different ways. Some people, they love their children by not speaking to their children. A mother was telling me a couple years ago, right? Yeah. How to show she loved her child was by sending her child to go and live with a grandparent in a different village, right? Or a different city, right? And decided not to call the child for a year. Yeah, that is their love. That is the way they express love. So, and what the parent was saying, well, I'm not talking about what they told me. They were telling me, it's not somebody they told that it was telling me. I'm saying the parent was telling me. Yeah, so I allowed my child to go stay in a different city, right? So, and I won't speak to them. So she now said, if at most she wants to speak to her, she will speak to the people that she is living with, right? So that she will hear how they are taking care or how the person is doing, whatever that means, right? So now look at it. That child, a perspective of love will be different. Altogether. If a boy child is in that situation or a girl child, regardless of the child you are, right, you will understand love with a lens. Now, there's another child. I'm an example, for instance, right? Whose parents or whose mom or whose dad, right, speaks to their children every single day. Yeah, I've spoken to my mom every single day for over a decade. Every single day. The only day I can't speak to her is when I'm on a retreat. My phone's not with me. I left my phone, and my phone definitely is with her. You get the point? So I leave my phone at home with her, right? And I'm on a retreat, then I don't speak to her, right? So it's strange, right? So it means that if I were to love my child, right, in a certain way, there's an expectation I have seen. But what do you now tell of the person who did not see a parent to speak to them every day? The love they will give will be dependent on their expectation. And you will realize that that will vary from pillar to pillar. It means we will not have any right to judge what is true love and what is true hate. Because what you call hate of seems like a sign of hate is not hate in itself. Are we together? Because it is love to another person. That's why we cannot live our life loving people the way we want to be loved. That's selfish love. Are we together? Right? So if those two children grow up, for instance, one might seem needy. The other one might seem, are you not a mature human being? Why should they be talking to you every day? Altogether. So imagine the one who is needy says, I like you to be talking to me every day. And that's why I try to call you every day. That means he's trying to, or she's trying to love you the way they want to be loved. The other one too, that does not pick their phone, right? And decides not to call you if you don't call them. Yet their own way of love is to say, give me my space. You know that song? Give me chance. Give me my space. Altogether. So both of them are loving their neighbor, which is their partner in this context, right, as they love themselves. That's the way they love themselves. When you carry that kind of matter to counseling, who will win? Let me now tell you something very interesting. The counselor, the way that one was brought up, will determine what they will say to you. See, if your counselor too grew up with the one, maybe this one, the counselor said the father just sent them to another continent, and for 10 years he didn't speak to them, were just sending money. Are we together? That will, except it's a renewed mind, that will influence the answer they give you. It's simple. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So that, why did I go this detail? Yeah, I went this detail because I wanted you to see the implications of what we stand for as believers. So the Bible cannot teach us to love people the way we want to be loved. No, that's not the Bible. There are some people, the way they want to be loved is if you offend them, just cut yourself out of their life. Are we together? Right? There are some people, if you offend them, they rather not speak about it instantly. There are those that want to speak about it on the spot. Right? And there are those that if you give, think about it. Let's just be very frank. There are people who like flowers. Are we together? Right? There are people who love flowers. In fact, you know, from even relating with some of you in church, I know those of you who love flowers. It is so evident in your face. So like all names. Yeah. So I'm saying if you love flowers, right? That is, so if somebody gives you, see two women, you know, right? So now, for one brother, right? Or one sister, right? How you want to be loved is that you want someone to buy flowers for you at least every once a week. Just buy flower and come home. All together, right? The other one realizes that I don't want flower, right? Why are you buying leaf to my house? I would get, I can use myself as an example. My wife loves flowers, right? Yeah. And you know, the funny thing about my wife, she's definitely listening, right? She loves flowers, but she can try to do as if she's an horticulturist or a gardener. I would get that. You give her a flower like this, before you know, we have bought plenty pots in our house. Yeah. Before you know it, she will put the glass. Before you know it, she will arrange it. Before you know it, she likes to see what the flower looks like. I never knew that flowers have food when you buy them. Are we together? I never knew that there are some things you cut off before you put the flower in a vase. Are we together? But she would do it, leave it in her room. She doesn't know that she has energy to go and wet it after all, but just to see it, it makes her happy. Are we together? But my dear brother, why are you buying me flower? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with flower, but why are you, am I a farmer? That's how I see it. Why are you bringing leaf for me? For me, in fact, when I see flower in my home, what I see is death. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm like, why should we lit our house? Why should we put risk of one small vase where somebody can touch it and to pour on our rug? That's what I'm thinking of, right? So why are you buying flowers for me? So it means that how she wants to be loved is flower. Me, don't bring flower. Hey, my greatest grandfather has done a lot of farming for my generation. I'm not into farming. I want to get that. Don't bring it. So that is how I want to be loved. Don't bring flower to me. So imagine I want to love my wife the way I want to be loved. What will I do? Or imagine my wife wants to love me the way she wants to be loved. What will she be buying for me every Monday to Friday? Flower, 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 flower. She even do subscribe and save. Fly, 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 fly. She is loving me the way she wants to be loved. You get what I'm trying to say? Right? So if ideally that's the way life is lived, there will be commotion everywhere. So there is one love that is consistent, that it covers even those their parents don't speak to them for 10 years and those their parents speak to them every day for 10 years. There's one love that is consistent for both parties, the love of God. So Jesus will say, this is a new commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. The love of Jesus to brother A, brother B, brother C, sister D, Dr. E is equal for all. So, brother A, brother B, brother C, regardless of the trauma, regardless of the experience, regardless of what they've grown up seeing, are we together, right? What should they look at in how they give love? Not what they've seen or what they've not seen, but what they see in the resurrection. You get what I just said? What they see means, what they see or what they don't see really means how you grew up in your father's house. I would get that. You know, there are some things I will say that I happen to experience while growing up that to me, I feel like is excessively exceptional, right? But somebody else can listen to me. I'm like, okay, what is that? You can only, you know, a lot of times you view life from the lens of your trauma. You view life from the lens of your experience. Are we together, right? It's just the reality of life. So I'm trying to say, what is that consistent thing that can help the non-traumatic and the traumatic one? It is not their experience of trauma or non-trauma. It's their experience of love. So I don't love my wife from the lens of how I grew up. Are we together? I love my wife from the lens of the resurrection. Hallelujah. So Jesus says, yeah, I have loved you that you love one another as I have loved you. If somebody says, love another person the way I've loved you, it means I'm the one that is leading on the conversation of love. It is my love that dictates your love. Let me say it differently. It is my love that sets the tone and the pace for your love. So when you want to remind yourself about how you should love another, what do? You remind yourself about how you've been loved by another. Who's the another? Right? Somebody's son. Are we together? Right? Somebody's son that found you. Yeah? If you laugh, we all can out together. Yeah? So somebody's son found you. Somebody's son found me. We are now believers. So at every point in your life, regardless of your experience, look at somebody's son, Jesus Christ. At every point of my life, regardless of my experience, I look at somebody's son, Jesus Christ. Are we here? Right? So he says, love your neighbor or love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love another. Now let's look at 35 together. 1, 2, 3, go. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. If you love one another, that will be an expression for people to know that you are a follower of Jesus. So Jesus is not teaching you something abstract. It's not what they call abracadabra. It's not something that is magical. It is something that there's a template for. That is why you are called a follower of Jesus. Yet remember Ephesians 5, be ye therefore followers of Christ and walk in love. What does that really mean? Be ye imitators. So we are to mimic and imitate Jesus Christ and the expression of his love. Are we together? Yeah. So go back to Roman. Go back to where should we go to now? Let's close Matthew 22. Then go back to Romans 13. Praise God forevermore. 33 minutes in. The way time flies, eh? Look at Romans chapter, Matthew 22, sorry. Matthew 22, right? Go again. Verse 40, it says, on these two commandments, go back to verse 37. Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God. Now let me ask you a question. What will be to love the Lord thy God, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul? That's another way of saying believe of his love. Are we together? Yeah. So you receive of his love. That's the first command. Yeah. That's the first step to what? Giving love. Because you receive of his love, then you express his love. All together. So the one that leads, right, is seeing the sacrifice of his love and receiving of it. Then what now follows? The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What is love thy neighbor as thyself? Love thy neighbor as thyself means love thy neighbor the way I have loved you. John 13:34. Romans 13. So when people do evil to you, what don't you respond with? You don't respond with your trauma. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? Do you get what I'm trying to say? What I mean by you don't respond with your trauma means you don't respond with your experience, no matter how traumatic it was. You see the point? You know what I found out in life? A lot of times a lot of us as believers are caged within the compound of our traumas, within the compound of our experiences. Are we together? Right? And you know, people begin to get very interesting and edgy when these things are being spoken around about. No better place to talk about how trauma should be healed than in the local church. No better place. There is no better place. There is no better place, yeah, than the local church for us to talk about the experiences we've had that have seared our hearts. No better place. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? Happy are you when you find a place where God's word is taught to the fullest. Happy are you when you find a place where God's word is communicated just the way it is in scriptures. So when you do something bad to me, what don't I do, right? I don't try to respond to you based on what you've done to me. I try to respond to you based on what Jesus has done to me and done for me. So it means that what is expected from me to you every time is owing. So it means that because of what Jesus has done to me, I am indebted to you and I owe you. That is why Jesus will tell that person that asked the question. He says, how many times should I forgive my neighbor? He will say 70 times 7. That means it is uncountable. Yeah? To whom much is given, much is expected. Right? The Bible says you were an enemy when Jesus gave you forgiveness of sin. You were a sinner. Romans 5:8, Romans 5:10, Romans 5:6. All together, you were a sinner. Altogether, right? So to whom much is given, much is expected. Yeah, that's why that parable of Jesus, I'm going to quote it, right? You know the story. Jesus gave a parable. A servant was forgiven by his master. He was owing his master a lot of money. The master forgave him, only for him to go back to the barracks and see somebody who owed him something less than what he was owing. I went to go and punish that person and say, you must repay back. That is the average Christian life that is on this earth. Why can I not forgive you? I cannot forgive you because I don't know how much I owe you. If I know how much I owe you based on what God has done to me. So God opened so when you became born again, God opened an account with you with Standard Chartered Bank, right? And he opened a domiciliary account as well for you with Zenith Bank. They now opened a foreign account with Bank of America. And they opened one with Pounds, right? With Santander, right? Or with Barclays. Are we together, right? Then there was one now Swiss bank that you open another account. Then he gave you forgiveness in each of your accounts in equal measure. And he gave it to the fullest tune of $10 billion in each of your accounts. $10 billion. No, let's make it $100 billion. So God has given you $100 billion in 7 accounts. $100 billion in 7 accounts is $700 billion. Let me tell you, the brother that steps on your feet is not up to $10,000. The sister that offended you is not up to $100,000. So how many times, so let's assume per offense is $100,000. And when it's very gross, it's $1 million. How many times will you forgive somebody who you owe? You will forgive somebody 70 times, 7 times. That's the implication of that. So when you find yourself not forgiving, you are paying attention to the wrong things. You see, let me tell you something. Learn to take responsibility and ownership of the expectation that God has for you. It's my responsibility to do the word. It's my responsibility. Yeah, it's the onus. That word is a word of scar. The first time I got rejected in visa. I cannot forget. That word just came into my dictionary. It says, they said the onus is on you to prove that you return back to your home country. Hey. Yeah, what? So you get the point. Yeah, the onus is on you. Anyone that floats your boat. Yeah, the onus is on you to actually do God's word. The onus is you. It's your work. It is your responsibility. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? So there is no case. There is nobody in this world that can offend you and it will be up to $700 billion. Let me say it differently. There is nobody in this world that can offend you every day of your life. And when you merge it together, it will be up to $700 billion worth. Nobody. That's what that scripture is teaching. Romans 13. Romans 13, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another, he hath fulfilled the law. What does that mean? I won't steal from you because I love you. I won't take your husband from you because I love you. I won't take your wife from you because I love you. I won't cheat on my husband because I love him. I won't cheat on my wife because I love him. All together, right? I won't give false witness to somebody because I love them. So, God is teaching. If law is the fulcrum, everything aligns. If love is your litmus test, you know, if you're a science student, there's something called litmus paper. Yeah, used to test for acidity altogether in substances or in compounds or what you say in liquids altogether, right? So your love is a litmus test. Let it be that when anything happens to you, you take love and dip into the situation and see what it produces. You realize that of a truth, what is expected from you is love, not hate. But pastor, you don't understand. I tell you for free, right? There is nothing like I don't understand. Let me say it differently. You see, if for any reason I get myself to a point in my, and this is how I live my life. If I get myself to a point in my Christian journey that someone does something so bad to me, I work together, right? Which I believe, I don't think I've seen it all, but I think I've seen something. I've seen small, I've seen little. You know, there's a Greek word called chinchini or chinchili. Yeah, I've seen a little. Yeah, but I think I've seen a little, right? But I'm trying to say, as I keep growing, if someone does something to me that is very extreme, I'm trying to say, if I get to that matter and I decide not to forgive, I will boldly and confidently say, this one passed my matter, but God's word is true. Let God be a God. Let God's word be true and let me be a liar. Because I'm trying to say, I'll be sincere with myself to admit, God still expects you to forgive this person. Altogether, right? There was something that was trending a couple weeks ago, actually, of a lady whose husband was shot, and you know, she was the man was a preacher of the, you know, of the love of God and all of those things around the world. Altogether. And she came on an open space in front of thousands into millions of people and said to the man who did this to my husband, I forgive you. Let me first tell you. You know, somebody, I heard another believer say something very interesting. He said she's just acting it. I'm saying, dear believer, at least you to act your own. Act your own, please. Just act your own. We know you don't mean it, but act it. You will start somewhere. Act it. What a statement to make. She came on open air and she said, I forgive the man who shot my husband. Let me tell you, Jesus will not look at her and say, I'm highly disappointed in you. Are we together? God will not look at her and say, are you serious right now? Are you serious right now? Are you kidding me right now? Do you know what you're saying? Even me, God will not forgive him. You see, that brother who was shot and the brother who shot, if that brother and the brother who shot, if they are both believers, they have the same room they will sleep in the resurrection morning. All together. There's no point asking what are your thoughts. You don't have a thought. What is the Bible saying? Love your neighbor as yourself. That means you don't love on account of the fact that they are good to you. You love on account of the fact that he is good to you. So he is good to you. You are good to others. Others are bad to you. You are good to them. You don't give tit for tat or tit for tat tat or tit for tat tat tat. You've been fooling, you should get the joke. Are we together? Right? Yeah, you give tit. You always meet the tit of another with the love of God. You always meet the tit of another with the love of God. All together. Very, 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 very. But you know, I gave an example yesterday. I dwelt a lot on it yesterday. Right? Yeah? Love is the litmus test by the for the actions and your inactions. Romans chapter 13. Owe no man anything but to love. So God is saying, if at all you owe anybody, owe them love. Hey, praise God. Hallelujah. Right? And those that you love, Matthew's gospel, we saw that yesterday. It says, those in the real sense who persecute you, those who despitefully use you. Matthew chapter 5. Are we together? Those who despitefully use you, those who persecute you, those who take you to be a fool. I can give an example a few days ago. Those who look at you, because you know, it takes a lot of confidence to lie to certain people. Yes, there are some lies you tell. It shows that somewhere in your mind, you believe this person you are talking to is a foolish person. Yeah, that's a branch of persecution. But what does God expect to that same person? Yeah, you owe him nothing else but to love. Praise God forevermore. Yeah, so look at verse 9. It says, for this, verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Where is that? Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Linked to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. So why will I not covet my neighbor's property? Love. Why will I not steal? Love. Why will I not commit adultery? Love. Why will I not bear false witness? Love. Why will I not covet? Love. Why will I not kill? Love. So love is the fulcrum by which I do things. Now, it does not mean that so what do we do a lot of times? Somebody covets your property. Yeah, you give hate. Yeah. Why did that person covet your property? Yeah, it is because there is no love in them. What do you meet with no love in people? You meet love with no love in people. You get the point? Yeah. When somebody offends you, when somebody steals from you, I always get that. When someone steals your property, I always get that. Why did the person steal your property even though the person was a believer? Yeah, there was no love in them. That means love was not the fulcrum of their action, even though the Prince of Love dwells on their inside, right? They allowed their action to be beside the conduct and the expectation of the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Love and the King of Glory on their inside. You get the point, right? So at what point should the believer, right, execute love at all points? All together, right? So it says, this can be summarized in thou shalt love thy neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. When the Bible teaches thou shalt love thy neighbor, it does not put condition. It does not say thou shalt love thy neighbor except unless. A lot of us in our doctrine, we have a except unless. Let me tell you something. It is not right for a believer to see another believer forgive another person. And what the believer that saw another believer says is, if it was me, this is what I would have done. If it's just me, I will not let them go. Do you know what I'm trying to say? You clearly see a believer forgive another believer because of the love of God as a litmus in their hearts. And you, that did nothing happen to you. See, if it was not, that's why some of us, right? Yeah, you know, like I said, yeah, your experiences, your trauma, they have a way that they present a lens by which you view life. Yeah? So imagine someone sees that woman who says, I forgive the shooter of my husband. Altogether, why am I using that example? That's a worldwide known example. And these things need to be said because some people don't read behind the scene. Just enough to say, oh, that's so cute. That is an example for you to follow. A woman forgave the man who shot her husband. And you cannot forgive the person who stepped on your toe. What is step on your toes? Maybe they forgot to wish you happy birthday. Altogether. Yeah, they forgot to wish you happy birthday, right? Or maybe you invited them for a party and they did not come. From today, no, not me and you. Like I always say, yeah, there is no, and I say it consistently. It's not a matter of brag. Call it brag. That's the truth. Yeah, if you want to call it brag, it is me bragging on the efficacy of God's word. God's word works. I say sometimes I see some matters. I'm like, some of you have even reached out to me over the last few days talking about how these words that we're teaching has helped your heart. Are we together? Yeah, and that's why I go this detailed when I teach. So you will not think I don't understand. There is nothing you are going through. There is no experience you are going through that I don't also have my own fair share. There is no. But I took care of this lady. I gave her all. I even sacrificed. Do you know what I've done? I stopped eating meat in school. My parents will say money. I stopped eating chicken in school so I can be able to afford to share my money with a friend to buy beef and egg. I stopped eating chicken. My dad will send me pocket money. I stopped eating chicken in school. Come off it, though. Like that video I posted earlier on. Yeah. Come off it. Are we together? Yeah. I stopped eating. I went excessively out of my way. I did not have money. Yeah, and eventually, almost what you can say, what I got for consistent number of years was unbelievable. But guess what? Like I said, we said it a few days ago, right? Thankfully, the person was smart enough to know how to value the relationship again and came back to the relationship. But I'm saying that person could only come back into my life because I left my door open. Let me tell you for free. I had every right to list out all the things that are sacrificially done. Even things he did not even know. Even rooms I have been in when scripts have been... Oh my goodness. Joshua, I love being. Joshua, I love being. You know, this is what I'm saying. I'm just boasting on God's love. things I've done behind the scene, only for me to experience serious, unbelievable things. And yet, eventually, yeah, came back and still remained a blessing to the person. I had every right to say me. You see why I say people react based on their trauma and their experiences. That experience was traumatic enough for an average person. So I had every right to kill that relationship instantly, and I also had every right to limit the way I go into relationships going forward. But guess what? I don't use my experiences to determine my today and my tomorrow. I use the experience of Jesus in the resurrection to determine how I deal with people. Altogether. Right? Yeah? So, don't get yourself into all those unnecessary things. Brother, why are you not talking to him again? Can you believe he gave birth? I was talking to somebody, a friend of mine, right? She was telling me an issue. The person she calls her best friend. Altogether, her best friend, not the core best friend. They are still best friend. What happened? Yeah, so there are three of them in like a circle. Two of them are closer. This person I know and that third party friend, the other person, I know the other person as well, right? And what was happening? Something very basic, right? One gave birth, right? Let me say it differently. They are best friends, and the only time they knew she was pregnant was when the child came. If you are listening to me right now, and you say, if it is me, please go back to day one and go and start listening to this series this night. All together, right? So obviously she was upset. How can I be your best friend? We're in the same country. Unfortunately, we don't get to see ourselves very frequently, right? Probably saw you a few months ago, right? And we speak almost every day, we chat almost every day, right? And I did not know that you were pregnant. Talk more, you giving birth. Guess what? The lady, my friend, confronted the other lady. And what the lady said? The lady said, God said that we should not tell anybody, we should keep it private. And guess what the smart lady said? She said, oh wow, as long as you said God said, that's enough for me. Right? So God, through the husband, has spoken to her. So the husband called her and said, well, God is asking us to keep this between us. Obviously, the husband said, let's assume God did not say. The husband said, that's enough for the lady not to tell her best friend. You must move past that entitlement mindset. Altogether. Now, the other friend now came and started saying all manners of things. Forget it, how can God tell that kind of nonsense? It's a place of fear. You are scared you will lose the baby. You are scared. Look at you. That's ego. That is unnecessary entitlement. That's unnecessary pride. Now, should you feel bad, your best friend you talk to every day, right, does not or will not or did not tell you they were going through a pregnancy phase, now, oh yeah, you can decide to. But I'm trying to say to you, yeah, you don't because of that, yeah, say, never in my life, I'll never speak to you again. Now, can that influence you to put boundaries with your own information going forward? Yes. Altogether, right? Can that influence you? But for the fact that you now say no, our friendship ends today. Let me tell you, people go through different things that are unbelievable. Yeah. So what do you not meet tit for tat? Let me say this differently. Let me come out clear. If you now becomes pregnant, and the only reason why you not tell that your friend you are pregnant, and let's assume, and for these people I'm talking about, they continue their relationship. The reason you didn't tell that your friend you are pregnant is because they didn't tell you that they were pregnant. You are doing tit for tat. Altogether. Nah, that's not the love of God. This is what I just said though. I did not say you agreed with your own partner and your husband, say you not tell anybody. My friend was even telling me that the lady did not even tell her own parents. I did not say that the angel of Gabriel, visited you at night, say, you see this pregnancy you're holding on? Make sure you tie your womb and make sure nobody knows when you are pushing out. I'm saying, just by remembering, this person did not tell me, you're not all of a sudden, right? Just say, I'm saying the only reason why you didn't tell this person, right, it's just because they did not tell you. Someone who clearly told you that God said we should not tell them. Ah, you're not doing the word, my bro, my sister, my brother. I'm not doing the word. You know what I'm saying? In my life, I can count nothing less than 500 to probably heading towards the 1,000 number of people who in the last 10 years, right, there was no year I did not wish them a happy birthday. My calendar was full with people's activity and everything, right? But as I got busier, I had to start declustering my calendar. Let me tell you something. Most of the people who I would wish a happy birthday, you know, you heard me say this severally, right? Majority, I can even give a bet of probably 70% to 80, if not more, right? Yeah, they would never, right? And interestingly, a lot of them, I met them in school, obviously. So it means that we have so many mutual friends who at least, you know, one person who eventually might celebrate me because I was a musician student. So I know people. That's the only reason I'm talking about this way, right? And eventually, so I will, there was not for once on account of them not messaging me. So I'm trying to say, I picked my phone, I went to their chat, I remembered it was their birthday, and I ceased from messaging them strictly because they've not been messaging me for the past 7 years. No, it doesn't happen. Yeah, so you know what I did for myself, right? Because my calendar was getting busier, I took out over 1,000 birthdays for my calendar. Yeah, it's part of love work, right? So that other people, I can have time for new people who are coming to church altogether. Yeah, you see, why am I saying this way? To show you how you draw your lines, how you keep boundaries. But let me tell you something. If any day I remember for any reason, or on the few days I'm privileged to go on my WhatsApp status, and I tap, and I say, plus one today. Yeah, the moment I see plus one today and I have a few seconds, I pick my phone and send them the same message. Yeah, there was one who even had to reach out to me eventually. After wishing you happy birthday for 8 years, I didn't miss one day. You never even told me HBD. We move on. I was together, right? Now, on this particular year, I do not know. Obviously, they are out of my calendar. This was like earlier this year, I think late last year. They're out of my calendar. I didn't see it on anybody's post. I didn't see it on their post. I didn't see their post. Right? Towards the middle of the night. Yeah. You know what? That kind of thing when you are going towards your next day after your birthday. Right? I just got a message. I've waited for your prayers this morning. I say, you that I'll be praying for and be doing all those kind of this thing. What did I still do? I did not say, I know you do deserve prayer. I did not say it too. I typed my prayer. I wished that well and sent it well and we moved on. You get the point? Now, keeping your boundaries does not mean I will add that person's prayer back to my calendar. Yeah, so if it means a lot to you when I pray for you on your birthday and you message me every year, just message, that's me drawing the line. But I'm saying if next year or the next birthday happens, right, and I cannot see it on my calendar, I don't see it anywhere, right, or I see it and I decide not to just because they don't. No, I'm not doing the work. You see, why am I saying these things? These are the minor things you will use to build your stamina and love work as you approach difficult situations in the coming days. For there will be difficult situations in the coming days. Are you with me? What do I owe everybody around me? The love work. Altogether, what do I owe everybody? How does Bible teach that we handle matters? Right? You go to the person who has offended or you are offended at. Yeah, go to James. Go to the book of James. I thought I would touch James in this series, but let's see if God allows us tomorrow or if I allow us tomorrow, really. Look at James 5. Look at James chapter 5, verse 16. James 5, 16. Look at it again. James chapter 5, verse 16. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. It says, confess your faults one to another. Why am I confessing faults one to another? It is because love is the fulcrum for my actions. Look at it again. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Pray one for another. What does the Bible say you should do to those that hate you and those that despitefully use you and those that persecute you? It says, pray for them. I remember when we were younger, I used to hear different pastors say different things. They say, the Bible says you should pray for your enemies, but it did not give you the prayer points. Like somebody who just wants to be very mischievous. The Bible says you should pray for your enemy, but it did not give you the prayer points. So that is your legal right to say your enemy must come and so catch fire and die by fire. Hallelujah. Altogether, yeah. When the Bible says pray for somebody, by default, in normal English grammatical lexicon, that means the person is on the same side with you. So it means the prayer that is expected is something positive, not negative. Amen. So it says pray one for another. So if I have a fault, in what you've done to me, or you have a fault in what I've done to you, what's the first thing that you do? I pray. Let me tell you something, right? There's not a single person who has hurt me and hurt me so bad. Right? That I've not taken out hours, sometimes days to pray and fast for. Not one. You know, I said earlier on, that same person I was sacrificing chicken for and eating egg, who probably does not know that I was doing that then? Yeah? Did not know or does not know that I was doing that then. Right? Yeah? The only reason why my doors remained open and when they came, I still remained a blessing to them was because I kept praying for them. The prayer was not, may you go and hit bottom rock, then you will know that there's a man in Gilead. I mean, there's a bomb in Gilead. No, that's not the prayer. Altogether. Yeah, you know, sometimes you see people ask, one of the questions I have people ask severally when we talk about this love walk concept is, okay, if I'm to pray for my enemy, what's my prayer point? No, forget about it. The question is, when there was no problem, what was the prayer point? Continue it now. That's the answer to the question. Pastor, but what's the prayer point I should be praying now? How do I pray? And the answer is, what were you praying for when there was no issue? Just go back there and continue it. You know why? You cannot successfully hate who you pray for. Think about it now. If you pray for a man who is sick, you want to demonstrate God's power to the person. By default, you can never expect, or you will not expect, the person to die. It's one thing to know by discerning of spirit that the person will eventually die, but you don't want the person to die. Even when the person dies, you want to raise them back up. You know why? Because you cannot successfully hate who you pray for. Hallelujah. Confess your first one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Altogether. Now, you may be healed does not mean if you have headache, go and tell somebody you were offended with and say, please, oh, I have headache. Oh, they say, I come and confess my fault. Oh, yesterday I took your bread. Oh, so I want to receive my healing. No. The healing here is actually, we taught this in the series, faith and healing. Yeah? Faith and healing. That should be 2021 or 22. Faith and healing. I think that's the assignment for one of the groups of leaders. Faith and healing. Right? So what did we teach there? We said that the confession of faith to make a man healed is healing of relationship, not healing of mental health, not healing of psychological problem, not healing of physical pain in the body. So the word there, healed, just really means to be restored, to be brought back to. So when you have an aired relationship, who do you speak to? I'll tell you something. This afternoon, I was having a conversation with somebody from another church, right? So they had reached out to me on a matter, right? And interestingly, I'm slightly connected in the church conversation and all of those things and blah, blah, blah. So when the person spoke, said a matter of things, I said, you see what? The first thing you've done is you first done the wrong thing by coming to speak to me about this first without speaking to the person. You see the unfortunate thing? The person had just finished talking to their pastor, right? And did not express themselves to the fullest to their pastor and called me. And I said, no, you don't have to continue. You don't have to go through this story. Don't tell me the detail of the story. Did you tell this your pastor, this thing you are just telling me? And he said, and I said, you've done the wrong thing. Yeah, it's the wrong thing. Why are you speaking Queen's English to somebody that offended you and you are coming to lambast the person to Mr. A or Mr. B? No, it's not done that way. I said, you know what? You have to go back to this. You have to go back and communicate properly. Say it clearly, honorably, respectfully, but say it. Together, say it. You confess your fault. Go and tell them. So if somebody offends you, are we together? One of the safest ways to do it, right, is to actually ensure that you have conversation and say it. But you know how you say it? Unfortunately, in the world we find ourselves, right, you find out that sometimes when some things are like that are said, right, some people that are not mature enough will not handle the relationship well. But you see, one of the things you must always think about is you would rather say it and it prevents it from happening tomorrow than do say it. If you don't say it and it still hurts you, your heart will keep going down the drain. I said to someone reached out to me in church, in the UK church, a couple months ago, right? And the person was telling me about an issue they had with somebody in the church, right? And I said, so instantly I was going to call the person and put both of them on the call. And I say, address it. I said, no, it's fine. That person was not fine. Yeah, because this thing they were talking about happened months ago. And the way the person expressed it, it came with so much pain. And I said, no, that's not fine. Have you spoken to this person about this? And he said, no, it's fine. We're actually even best friends. I said, Who are you whining? You don't know what offense is. Give no room to the devil. You will know where it starts from. Don't know where it will end. You don't know where it will end. How's it going? You don't know where it will end. Praise God forevermore. So, how does Bible teach you handle issues? You speak to them. Brother, sister. We should start having religious conversations like that. Maybe one of these services, we will do that kind of thing in church. Where we'll just tell ourselves, right? Everybody come together. Let's sit together, right? If there's anybody who has spoken to you in a way you don't like or done something to you you don't like, go and speak to them right now. You know how we'll do it, right? Maybe why I will do it so that we will not create problem in the church. We'll just say, everybody go outside. Yeah? So if you go outside, the person who you have problem with, just be timing them. Just make sure you time them in a position where nobody is seeing you. Right? The moment you realize no eye on you, you just go and drag the brother on his trouser and say, brother, is you I want to speak to? Or you just send them a note. Just pick your phone. Brother, is you I want to speak to? Meet me in room 322. Meet me in room 322. We have to iron our ears. Are we together? Yeah. Why am I saying this? Yeah, it's healthy for you to speak about things. altogether. Now, let me say something differently. Sometimes you need to get you need to get a right time to speak it. What does that mean? It means that not every time is the best time to speak about something. There are matters that can be very tricky and trivial that you can't afford to speak about it when there's an issue. So think about it. Imagine somebody who offended you. Somebody who offended you, right? And you want to, because Bible says you go and speak to them. They just literally tell you now, they just call you now and now. Oh, you actually even see their status. They post that their dad has gone to be with the Lord. You just forget that they're going to be with the Lord. Thank God they say, thank God they saved. You now message them. Hello, my brother. How are you doing? Thank God for the life that they lived. Oh, it was such a blessing to our generation. Maybe a blessing as well. And may step show us the way to relate and be good with other people. You know, my brother, it's not like I have any issue with you, right? But I just wanted you to know that you see the way that day we're driving to church, you splashed water on my clothes. You didn't even say sorry. That's not the time to do that. Altogether, right? So you know that's where discernment comes in. And that's why you're supernatural. You should be able to discern when is the time. Altogether. Not the one you say you are designing, you wait for when is the time, 7 years, you still wait for it. People are so malicious in the Christian faith. People can keep malice. Why now? Why? What exactly is it? It's an insecurity thing, you know? It's an insecurity thing. Because when you find out one of the reasons or the reason, well, you know, when I come into issues like that and I hear one of the reasons why you are keeping malice, it doesn't even worth anything. The devil playing mind games on you to make you know what the devil does? He amplifies the things that seems to be minor. What do you owe anybody? Love. Altogether. That's why I always tell you, know the people who not to tell when you feel hot about somebody. And let me say this carefully. You see, one of the ways to get your heart in a good place when you say negative things to somebody about somebody else is when that matter, some of you in this church know it clearly. I can call your names. Yeah. If for any reason I make a mention to you about something altogether, when that thing changes or if that thing changes or when something becomes clearer to me, I come back to you and mention to you, this is what I said. This is what is not true. You know what I'm trying to say? It's helping your heart. Yeah. You know what it does for you? It makes you accountable. So the next time when you want to go and do cho-cho-cho, you will know how to comport yourself. You know what they call cho-cho-cho? Cho-cho-cho is the Hebrew word for what? Chaotic talking. Cho-cho-cho, cho-cho-cho, cho-cho-cho. Yeah? When you want to do cho-cho-cho, when you remember that it's possible this thing is not correct, let me not come and come. Because you know why people don't go back to people that they gist about other people? Is that when the time comes, they feel ashamed of themselves. So they rather tarnish the image. You know, that prayer you used to tarnish somebody's image, go back to the person you spoke to and go and speak to them. All together. Yeah, it's very important. Very, very important. Very, very, very important. You know, there's some people, when you start seeing the way they act, you just know that somebody has said something to them, right? Unfortunately, the people that have issues might resolve their issues and move on with life. But you'll find out that more often than not, the people that were in the dark remain in the dark. Take that same prayer, that same pressure you used to go and, can you imagine what that sister said to me? Can you go back and go and say, me and this sister, we've tackled the issue. Because you know why? People know how to inherit enemy in this our world. People know how to inherit enemy in this world. You see, let me tell you something. Yeah, like I said, I have friends altogether. I have friends who, if I want to speak to about certain matters that are getting to me, right? I know I will speak to them on the matter, and I know I will not leave that matter to hate the person more. Yeah, it's good to have friends like that they will always remind you and bring you back to God's word. They will always, even if they don't even mention Bible, what they will just say will just be. We'll just be around what is expected. Like, let me even say it differently. If you don't have anything to say, just keep quiet. When somebody come and tell you something, and come and say, blah, 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 that's all those backbiting things. When someone come and tell you, blah, 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 okay. Can you imagine? Wow. Is that so? It's because when those two people finish, you see, let me tell you something. You know what they call, there's something in Yoruba where I come from. What's the time now? There's something in Yoruba, right? They say, I don't know if I'm correct, but they say it's ajasa. Is that correct? Yeah. You know, you add pepper. You know that kind of thing? Yeah? That, you know, the hailing that they give you when you're walking in offense is what solidifies offense in your heart. Are we together? When everybody you can speak to where you are offended about something or somebody is every other person except the person, and the people around you are saying, really? How will you take that kind of nonsense? How will you do that kind of thing? How would they do that kind of thing? You see, that's why I don't like see finish in this life. Because we are going to the same church. Does that mean we are mates? Do you know when I started pastoring? Do you know when I started leading? Is it because we are just here that they call me brother? Yeah, I was a pastor where I'm coming from. I was leading people in their thousands. What are you saying here? You think because church brothers, if it was not, can you talk to me like that? That is ego you are trying to protect. Who are you? Your mates, people that are not even as big as this person you are talking about, if they meet you outside, they will deck you. They will beat the living broad daylight out of your body. What are you saying? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? What is that saying, do you know who I am? More often than not, it's a selfish statement. Do you know who I am? If at all you even say you do know who I am, and you're talking about the resurrection of the believer, or the who you are in Christ Jesus, it's even better. And if that's the case, your response will not be from a place of anger. It's a place of, I'm a love being. That's what it is. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Even people that are nothing. We are nothing but pencil in the hand of the Creator. Do you know who I am? If I meet you outside, you know, some people just not out like to exaggerate themselves. It's not of God. It's not of love. Because it's not of love. It's not of God. So what do you do? You learn the practice and the art of ensuring you keep your heart in check. If you don't know what to say, just pray. You know, someone can come and lambast somebody else to you in front of you and all the matter. And what do you do? Just say, wow, okay, well, that's serious. I can understand your pain, but have you taken out time to pray for the brother? You let me tell you something. And if, like, you know, I always say it. If you are the dumping ground for hot people, there's a problem that you have. You know, you're not a problem. We said it on Wednesday. You have a problem. You're not the problem, but you have a problem. If five people are hot in the church of 10, five, and when they are hot, is your dumb hot, they bring the matter to, particularly where your LinkedIn does not say certified therapist, you have a problem. You have a problem. Yeah. You know why? Because they subconsciously know that you will make them walk in the flesh more. Let me tell you, if somebody comes to you with a full force of information, do you know why you should not listen to information? And like I said to the brother I was speaking to today, earlier today, I said, you don't need to give me all the information if you've not spoken to this person, to the pastor involved. You don't need to. And I told the person, I said, I'm not in your church. And I told the person, I said, even though I have a relationship with this, your pastor, I can't call your pastor, at least at this stage, to say this is what you're saying. You know why? Because it looks like you are coming to report the pastor to me. Who am I? The pastor is older than me with probably over 30, 40 years. No, not up to 40, over 30 years. You know what I'm trying to say? Right? So there's no point telling me. Right? Yeah? Let me tell you how you keep naysayers or how you keep people short. When they come and tell you, you just tell them, oh, wow, that's so sad, right? Yeah? Have you taken out time to pray for him or pray for her? Let me tell you, the next time that they are upset and they are boiling, they won't come to you. You've saved yourself. So if everybody is coming to you and I come and say, this brother, Kai, who in that church? Bible says, speak to brethren. Who in that church? That brother will hear me. Yeah? The first person say you will hear them. The second person say you hear them. The third person say you hear them. You have a problem. You are doing everything. You're not doing something wrong. You are doing everything wrong. You know why? Because you will not be bold enough to say, can we have this? Can you repeat this thing to this person you are talking about? Can we have a mutual conversation where we address it on the table? So how do you deal with matter? You keep, I always do it clearly. I always do it clearly. Yeah. You don't say things you cannot say to other people, right? Or to people in front of them. Come and make me your dumping ground, because I'm not going to be whining you. Yeah, if at all I even listen to things like that, I listen to it from members particular. You know why? Because I'm responsible to you. I'm responsible for you and to you as well. All together. So you need the listening ear. So that's what I will give you. Right? But you see, no matter the listening ear I give you, the conclusion cannot be outside the word. It has to be what does the word say. All together. Right? So that's why. So if people shy away from you when they are hot about matters and other people, you are doing everything good. It means they know you know how to put boundaries and draw the line. Are we here together? Remember Philippians, right? Why am I saying these things? I'm treating this matter because it's interesting what I've seen in a couple years within the local church that is in this phase, in this growing phase. If I don't keep saying these things, we're going to have more people who are going to come, right? And they will hurt you worse than the hurt you think you are holding on to right now. Yeah, if you don't tackle that your heart right now, it will become worse for you in the future. Are we together? It will become worse for you in the future. The ground was for you to be rejoiced. And that's why for me as a pastor, you know, when I go through some experiences, I don't talk about the experiences, even in the church, right on the spot where it's talking about. It might take weeks, sometimes months, and perhaps sometimes years. Are we together? Yeah. Some leaders reach out to me sometimes. We're like, how did you keep that information? How do we not know, leaders? Yeah. Yeah. It's part of how you train yourself to ensure that you still see people in the lens through which God sees them. It's a long walk. It's a long journey. Let me tell you something. You don't walk in love because you expect that they might be the one God will use for you tomorrow. That's not the point. It is you walk in love because that's what God has given unto you. That's the expectation God has for you. That's what God has made you to be. That's what God has made you to be. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. Look at Matthew 10 verse 16 as we begin to wrap up. Matthew 10, 16. I hope God's word instructs your heart. I hope God's word instructs your heart. Yeah? Learn to... There's someone looking at me now. You're eating. You're eating. Look at Matthew 10. Look at Matthew 10, verse 16. Yeah. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be, and I know you. Yeah. It's not a random thought. So altogether, before you say I'm just doing guesswork. This is not guesswork. Now you should know better than that, right? Yeah. Behold, I send you forth in the midst of sheep. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents and harmless as dove. What's the next statement? Beware of men. So when you see wolves, when you see serpents, who is the Bible teaching about, Jesus teaching about in this context? Men. Now, let me tell you what people, believers, read that scripture to me. It says, I've sent you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore as corny as serpents. Bible does not teach you to be corny as serpents. Corniness is not a fruit of the spirit, so you should not be corny. Yeah, there's a syntax error in that verse, and it's probably better corrected this way. We've done that teaching over the years, right? Now, how do you read Matthew chapter 10, verse 16? It says, behold, I send you forth as sheep. So who are you? You are a sheep. Who's a sheep? A sheep is one who is tender-hearted, who puts wrath, lie, anger, bitterness away. You can't afford to say you are a sheep and you are holding on to bitterness. You are staining your white. Okay? It says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, who are therefore, who are as wise as serpents. So that's the way to read that. So the wolves are the ones that are as wise as serpents. Who are you? You are a sheep. What should you be? Be as harmless as dove. So you are the sheep to be as harmless as dove. The people who are around you are the serpents who are the wolves who are as corny as serpents. How do you know what I just said? Look at verse 17. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they shall scourge you in their synagogue. How they deliver you up to this council? Because there will be wolves who are going to be corny in their conduct as serpents. Look at verse 18. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Look at verse 19. But when they deliver you, because you are a sheep, because you are supposed to be harmless as a dove, what do you do? You take no thought how ye shall speak, for shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Look at verse 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the spirit of your father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So what is the teaching? You endure because you are a sheep to be harmless as dove. Look at verse 23 together. 1, 2, 3, go. He says, but when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man is come. Are we together? So what is it teaching, right? When a man slaps your cheek, what do? You turn your cheek to the other side. Are we together? You turn your cheek to the other side. You face the other side and you allow them to slap you again. What does that mean? We talked that 2 days ago or yesterday. It means you look for how or ways or methods to resolve issues quickly. Always look for methods to resolve. And let me say this clearly to you, dear saints. When you resolve issues, resolve them, let it be that it is resolved. Altogether. Let it be that it's resolved. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Let it be that it's resolved. You can't claim to have resolved an issue months, years after the issue you keep for unsolicited reasons. just looking for whoever you want to say the story to. No, that's not scriptures. That's not godly. Just look for random people. I just want to, it's not scripture. It's not godly. Altogether. Praise God forevermore. Look at Matthew 5 as we close this evening. Matthew 5. We saw this a few days ago, right? So we just talk about when you are slapped on the right cheek, turn the other to the other, and we said that means to what? Resolve quickly. Let bitterness and wrath, Ephesians 4, be put away from you. Be ye not angry and sin. Let not the sun come down your anger. We've seen all of that throughout this week, right? Now, look at verse 44. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. You can't, Bible cannot be teaching. You pray for people who despitefully use you, and you wish them to fall down and die. No. Right? And persecute you. It says that ye may be children of the Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth his rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? We've seen that severally, right? You don't love only those that love you. Are we together? Right? Do not even the publicans do the same? Are we together? Right? And if you salute only your brethren, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans also? Now look at 48. It says, be ye therefore perfect, even as the Father which is in heaven is perfect. Take heed that ye do not your arms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of the Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine arms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue, right? That they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest arm, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing. Altogether, you know, sometimes you need to just gain satisfaction in the fact that God sees you and God sees your heart. Altogether, it's a different thing, you know, people do all manners of things. The different thing if you are doing NGO and need to do packaging and everything because you want the crowd to show and out to, you want people to know that, but sometimes then, you see, there's a temptation in our generation as churches to make certain things obvious to the world just so that people can say we are trying. No, let the accolades you are looking for be that of God alone. Altogether, let the accolades you are looking for be that of God alone. Yep. So when you do things, you don't have to make it public to the world. I'm talking about when you're helping people and all of that. That's what it's teaching there, right? Now look at the next verse there. It says verse four, that their arm may be in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be an hypocrite, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closest, and pray after this manner, verse 9. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Who is the Father in heaven? The Father in heaven is the one who speaks about in verse 48 that is perfect. So our Father that is perfect in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom is come, thy kingdom, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What is give us this day our daily bread? That is, you forgive us our debts. So the daily bread is forgiveness of sins. What do? We open up our bowels of compassion to others, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for that is the kingdom, power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. So what's that teaching, right? Jesus leads the example. God leads the example of forgiveness or perfection, then we follow suit. Be therefore followers of Christ, right? And walk in love. Let's pause in James. One thing I said, we'll pause in several scriptures, right? It's part of scripture, it's part of teaching. Look at James. James, we'll come back here tomorrow. James is after Hebrew. So James, go all the way to verse 4. We'll read this tomorrow. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Hopefully, we're able to touch it tomorrow. I just want us to touch the scripture so it can make sense to us, right? Because we're doing Navigating Your Bible. James chapter 4. From whence comes war and fightings among you? A pastor to the flock. All these your wars and fighting, where does it come from? All your worrying, where does it come from? Look at the next verse. Right? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members. So he's saying that these things come from your lustful desires. Okay? Look at verse 2. Now for that experience. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. It says, you fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. I went together. Right? So the word they ask there has nothing to do with prayer. Okay, now look at verse 3. Ye ask, we'll pick it up tomorrow, and receive not because ye ask amiss. The word there, if you better look at the word desire, it will make it better for you to see. So look at that again. You desire and receive not, right? Yeah, because you desire amiss. Are we together? So it means that there's something that your desire should fuel towards, but there's something else your desire is tilted towards, which is what gives birth to what? Lust, and gives birth to wars, and gives birth to fightings. Are we together? Right? So you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Right? So there is a desire, a lustful desire. You are desiring something that is lustful, right? And you, so he's trying to say that there's something else you should be desiring. How will you know? We'll look at that tomorrow from chapter 3, right? He will say, can a sweet fountain bring out both bitter and sweet water? That means there's something you should bring out, which is something you owe another, which is love. But you are not desiring to bring out love. You are desiring to bring out something else so that you can consume it upon your lust. I hope that makes sense. Else, if you don't touch tomorrow, bless your heart. There are series I can recommend for you we've done in the past to do. That's why he now says in verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. I close there. What does it mean to be an adulterer? An adulterer means you are deriving pleasure and a sense of gratification from a bed that is not your bed. Altogether, right? Yeah. The adulterer, or the adulteress there in James 4 is an example of one who is deriving satisfaction. Yeah, to consume it upon your lust. You get the point, right? From a bed that is not your bed. So you have the marital bed. Are we together, right? When you say a man is an adulterer, what does it mean? It means he went to sleep with another woman on a bed that is not his bed. That bed does not mean literal bed in their home. It can be bed in hotel. Are we together, right? So not one as one man will not come and carry another woman and sleep on the matrimonial bed and say he's not sleeping on another man's bed. No, the bed really means the relationship and interaction you are supposed to have with that person. Altogether, right? Yeah. So in the real sense, you will find out that if ideally you are to get yourself in a place at a point where you are desiring something else, check it well, right? It is you are not paying attention to the right things, right? So you are an adulterer because you are deriving satisfaction. So a married man who sleeps with another woman, right, regardless on the bed in which he sleeps on, is one who is desiring something to consume upon his lust. That means he's looking for satisfaction outside the marriage union. All right. So who are we? We are those who are married to Jesus. There is a marriage union between the bride and the groom. Are we together? We are in union with Christ and the church. Christ and the church are in union. We're in union with Christ. Yeah. The moment we are desiring something other than love, which we get from Christ, it means we are desiring something or a satisfaction that is outside of the marital bed between the church and Christ Jesus. Hopefully it blesses your heart. Do well to remind yourself of these things we've said hither. Do well to remind yourself of the words that God has said to you directly. For you know that when those words were said throughout this week, they were speaking to you directly. And you know that God's word came to you without a mixture. God's word came to you directly. Do well to act on the words that you heard. For you see, in doing that, you are acting right in the way that God expects from you. You are acting right on the things that God wants you to act on. And you will realize that in doing that, there should be a sense of satisfaction that comes. There's fropotis vanakosh kizba, and also so keep poking the carcasses of a kaka, and also the gim prodes of gosh kiz bopon the divorce, ek kiz of another. Yeah, it just really means, right? There is a sense of joy that should come from doing the will of the Father. Now, do well to act promptly on God's word. Don't waste time. Don't wait for another day. Don't wait for another 24 hours. Do well to act on God's word right now. Right now. For the multitude of God's word has been pushed to your heart. It's been nicely pushed into your heart to pierce everything, every theme of darkness, to pierce every trace and shadow, right, of fear, right, of that which is not of love. And the word of God has really done a dematerialization to those things in your heart. So what you will do is to ensure you act and imitate and mimic and follow just right on the path that Jesus has laid for you. That's the path of the love walk. That's the love walk that Jesus has laid for you. And you realize that you get satisfied in the actions that you will take. Now, do well to ensure that these words don't just pass through one ear and come out through the other ear. Do well to act on God's word. Do well to forgive and let go. For you see, you are holding on to that which is too hard for you. And that which is too hard for you would always bring discomfort to you. And that will, by extension, affect different aspects of your life. So do well to let go. The reason for proskipos over kondosavaki omranamoshishagranabasavapapi enamosavaha. The reason for God's word coming right at you the way it has come is because God is intentional about you. God is intentional about you as well as the other people around you. So do well to act. Act in his love. Act in his loving kindness. Act in the will of the Father. For you see, there will never be a time that the love work expressed by the believer will be considered as out of bound. Every time you see yourself, right, in the midst of what looks like persecution, in the midst of what looks like distress, it's a time and an opportunity to build much more muscle and pay more attention to God's word and give that which you have from the bowels of your compassion. Do well to ensure you remind yourself always that what you owe another is to love and nothing else. And never get yourself in the dilemma and mix of trying to give that which is of darkness. For you see, you've been born of God. You've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his marvelous son, of his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Hopefully that instructs your heart. I'll see you again tomorrow. Same time, same station, 7 PM, in the UK, UK time rather, 8 PM Nigerian time. I will pick it up again for the last session. They will meet together physically again on Sunday and take it up from there. Well, I'll see you tomorrow. Love you so dearly. Cheers.